You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
5-1 for the first time since 2002. That'll do.
Feels pretty good, not gonna lie. It's been a while since we felt like, and honestly, like, I think this team is better than that 2002 team.
Oh, they better be. They better be. I mean, this team feels like, if I can compare this team to the feeling that I got from any other Miami Dolphins team in my living memory, like, the closest vibe is like 1984, like elite offense. And then they also have a defense that plays on the team also.
We'll find out a lot about them, in the next few weeks and as the season progresses. But we know that we've got an offense, and that's fun. And look at last year's Super Bowl. Like,
yep.
I know the phrase is defense wins championships, and yes, you got to play some defense. But this league has trended more towards offense over the past two decades, and you see it more and more. You know, offense, if you have an elite offense, you can win with an average defense.
And that's all the Dolphins need is an average defense, and they can be through the roof. And we're going to talk a lot about the defense and everything else about this Miami Dolphins team on this episode of the Same Old Dolphins. But the fact of the matter is they're 5-1. They are tied for the best record in the National Football League after the two remaining undefeated teams in the league both took an L on Sunday. The 49ers lost to the Browns, and the Eagles lost to the Jets of all teams. So there we go. No more undefeated. So the 72 Dolphins were able to pop the champagne because they remain the only team to ever be perfect. So we got that going for us, which is pretty great. And here the Dolphins are at 5-1, sitting pretty atop the AFC East. And again, looking pretty good. So we're going to talk all about it. This game against the Carolina Panthers, we're going to talk about that on today's episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Before we go any further, a quick reminder to everybody, whether you're watching this on the Dolphins Talk YouTube page or the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, do us a quick favor and just smash that little thumbs up button there right below the video. We appreciate that. Or certain, if you're watching this on a desktop computer or a laptop computer on Facebook, it's to the right of the video, but go ahead and smash that thumbs up button. We appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at Amplified, or excuse me, follow us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. I'm Amplified Rock. He's Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can also follow me and the show at Amplified to Rock, at Same Old Dolphins on Blue Sky as well. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphin Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcasts. And make sure you are visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And on the podcast network, we got lots and lots and lots of audio coming your way to keep you updated on your favorite football team, your first place Miami Dolphins. Brain, on Sunday, it wasn't pretty at the beginning. Dolphins found themselves down 14-0 to the last winless team in the National Football League. And you were sitting there going, I was sitting there going, oh boy, trap game. And this trap game narrative is intensifying right now as they fell behind 14-0, as there was a lot of just the 2-3 and outs offensively to start the game. It's like, what are we looking at here? What is going on? But there was no panic. The Miami Dolphins turned it around. The defense buttoned things up and did not allow another point the rest of the way. The offense scored 35 straight points, and the game was basically put away, and it was garbage time when Mike White threw a pick six, a really stupid, terrible pick six. And that sort of was the last, I mean, it wasn't the last meaningful thing. The Dolphins went on to score another touchdown after that. So, I mean, and basically we saw again, essentially in this game, the Dolphins won by a final score of 42-21. And they basically did it in 2.5 quarters. They basically took the first quarter off, and then the game was over by halfway through the fourth quarter. That is the kind of potency that we are seeing in this Dolphins team. And yet again, they cruised to victory relatively comfortably in a game where they were far from perfect. And that's the kind of thing that makes you go, if this team is winning games like this right now when they're not playing their best football, what on earth do we have to look forward to later in the season, Brian?
Well, we hope that they're playing their best football at the end of the season, because that's not a given. That surely was not the case last year. it again just reinforces the fact that at this point, because of how great this offense is, there are certain teams that are not going to be able to hang with Miami, even when Miami doesn't play very well, because they're just, certain teams aren't good enough to score 30 points. And the Dolphins honestly should be able to roll out of bed, play a subpar game and still get 30 points. I realize that through six games twice, they haven't. You know, the Bills game, I feel like they easily could have scored 30 points, but they were chasing points and left a lot out there. And the Patriots game, you know, say what you will about the Patriots, I think at least defensively, they're very solid. And that even in that game, I thought that the Dolphins, you know, they easily could have scored 30 points, but they were just kind of out of sync in the second half of that football game. But in general, the Dolphins, where they're at, should be able to score 30 points every game. And so that automatically is just going to, you know, take certain opponents out of it. Now, the fact that we played the Giants and the Panthers the last 2 weeks, like those two teams, you could pretty much score 20 points as long as you don't gift them points like the Dolphins did to both of those teams, that you should win those games. And so we've won those games very comfortably. And we've talked to, you know, the last 2 weeks about how it kind of feels like they're preseason games. And then for the game to start the way this last one did, for the team to come out flat, really on both sides of the ball, was very concerning, but they got it back on track. And when they got it back on track, like, it should have been 42 points unanswered. Really. I mean, a lot of people are going to talk about the defense because of how poor the defense played on the first two drives of the game. But after the first two drives of the game, the Panthers had really two sustained drives. One where they missed a field goal at the end of the first half, and another one where they went for it on fourth down and turned the ball over on downs inside the red zone. So realistically, you know, the Panthers left 6 points on the board after those first two drives. So after those first two drives, this Dolphins defense really settled in and had a great game. Granted, against not a very good offense, but you have to give them credit for at least turning it around. And it wasn't just players playing better. It was also some scheme changes. I mean, the Dolphins clearly, after halftime, played a lot more man coverage, did a lot more blitzing, and really mixed things up a lot more and confused a rookie quarterback. Now, why it took them till halftime to really, you know, decide to mix things up, that's something that we could talk about. But overall, I mean, the Dolphins came out in a funk. They came out flat. They woke up in time to still really blow this game away.
Well, that's the thing, right? How many times in the past do you remember the Dolphins coming out and finding themselves down by 14 points? Like, it used to be that the game was over. Like, if they found themselves down by two touchdowns, they might as well have been down by four touchdowns. But with this offense, there's never panic, and they turned it right around. I think defensively, we did see some adjustments made on defense. And again, they were good adjustments to see. I think there's one more adjustment that I would like to see, which is that I would like the Dolphins to start thinking about, I mean, and we'll see, now he's got an injury, but Xavien Howard on allowing him to shadow specific players, because what we've been seeing, what we saw in the Giants game, we saw it big time in the Bills game. We saw it to a little bit in this last game as well, is that the teams are moving their number one receiver away from Xavien Howard. They're moving them around the field, and knowing that they can move them away from Xavien Howard, and Xavien Howard's not going to follow him, and that is allowing them to take advantage of the Eli Apples and the Kader Kohus of the world and the Nickersons of the world. So that's something that I would like to see the Dolphins continue to adjust with. But the Dolphins are also getting some reinforcements that we know are coming. And we can talk about that now if you want. You know, the fact that we're getting Nick Needham is nearing a return. And that we got a very positive report that Jalen Ramsey is way ahead of schedule on his recovery. And he's somebody who could be returning to practice with the team as early as this week. Now, we'll talk more about Jalen Ramsey and how that affects the team specifically in a little bit. But again, so I think there's still adjustments to be made. But the fact is that it's not like Vic Fangio is like, this is the way that my defense plays, and that's the only thing that I'm going to do. He has shown that he's not inflexible. He maybe doesn't make the best adjustments in game, but from a game to game basis, he does make game plan changes. And that is something that is good to see. And it is at least a little bit encouraging as we move forward, as we can see the team start to improve on defense. But the defense and their bounce back from that slow start wasn't the only positive thing in this game, Brain. I mean, a lot of people were worried that when you lose Devon Achane, you were going to lose the ability to be explosive running the ball. And then in comes Raheem Mostert, who's like, doubt me if you will, but he carried the ball 17 times for 115 yards, averaging 6.8 yards a carry, which is ridiculous in its own right. Okay, yes. The fact that Achane is averaging over 12 yards a carry, that's completely insane. But 6.8 for Raheem Mostert is nothing to sneeze at. And Mostert had a great game himself. 17 carries, 115 yards, two rushing touchdowns. He also added three receptions for 17 yards and another score. So a very, very strong day for Raheem Mostert as well. He was tremendous. Tyreek Hill continues to just set the world on fire. And he's sitting here. His numbers were six receptions for 163 yards, including a 47-yarder. Good for a touchdown. He's on pace to smash that 2,000-yard mark. And then there's the quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, just, 21 of 31 for 262 yards, three touchdowns, and a 126 passer rating. I mean, it's becoming routine, and quite frankly, and I know it's only 6 weeks, so there's a long way to go, and it's very premature to have this conversation, but the way things are going, the best argument that you could make for why Tua Tagovailoa should not be the MVP of the National Football League is that the number one candidate for MVP in the National Football League is his number one receiver, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. And it's true. You know, I thought the most impressive thing, the most impressive thing was Raheem Mostert in this game. And Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill is so impressive, but he's so consistently impressive that at this point we just kind of come to expect it. So it's like, oh, 163 yards and a touchdown from Tyreek Hill. He was Tyreek Hill. But what we're really amazed at is the game that Raheem Mostert had. But the fact is that Raheem Mostert has really been doing this since really getting the opportunity to do it last year. And this year he's been really consistent. Granted, he had a bad game against Buffalo, but he's been over 6 yards a carry in every other game this season. So it's, you know, it's not a fluke. Raheem Mostert has the speed that we all know he has, but he's also breaking tackles. He's falling forward consistently. So his nose for the end zone and for, you know, the first down line, just his ability to consistently fall forward 2 yards when he gets tackled is huge in the grand scheme of things. So it's really impressive, the drop off from Raheem Mostert to Savon Ahmed, because Savon Ahmed, I mean, say what you will about him, still at least a serviceable running back. Not somebody that you'd want to start, but the drop off from Raheem Mostert to Savon Ahmed is significant. And you watch Raheem Mostert, and as much as I love Raheem Mostert, the explosiveness of Devon Achane, the difference between Achane and Mostert is pretty big. So I really hope that, you know, that Mostert can stay healthy, that Achane gets healthy, because when he comes back off of IR, having those two guys in the lineup, if this offense can just stay healthy from Tua on down, I mean, nothing's going to slow this thing down. It's just, they're going to be able to just roll out of bed and score 30 points if they just play solid.
And at this point in time, the Dolphins have played what?
Six games.
One game. Oh. With their full first string offensive line.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Teron Armstead.
And they scored 70 points.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not going to happen, but
I'm just saying like that's the thing. I mean, here's the other thing. You got to prop out this offensive line. I mean, Kendall Lamb filling in for, I mean, so much to the point that we got a question, in the preview show in the mailbag from Ryan Van Hoover about, you know, do you let Teron Armstead ride the bench when he's ready to come back in favor of Kendall Lamb? And obviously, no, you're never going to do that, but the fact is Kendall Lamb is more than holding his own right now in Teron Armstead's absence. And listen, if there was anything that had me worried going into this Carolina Panthers game, was the fact that we were going to get a full game of Liam Eichenberg at center. And my God, what was that going to mean for this team? And Liam Eichenberg might have just had the best game of his career against the Carolina Panthers, and a Carolina defense that has a pretty strong defensive front. I know there are all plenty of things wrong with that team right now, but their defensive front is pretty strong. Brian Burns is one hell of a football player. And this offensive line held its own. Liam Eichenberg held his own in this game at center. And it was just, we all had our doubts about this offensive line. I still, you know, in the back of my head, I'm still waiting for it to all come crumbling down. But I mean, thus far, the evidence strongly suggests that with this particular game plan, with what Frank Smith and Bruce Berry are doing, that right now, this offensive line is more than doing enough for what the Dolphins need them to do. And it's making a big difference. And again, I will say it again, in the six games they've played a game and a half with their full preferred starting offensive line. So think about how good Raheem Mostert looked in this last game with two backup offensive linemen in. And now imagine what it's going to look like in a few weeks when potentially you've got Armstead and Williams back in there. So, I mean, right now there are a lot of things about this Miami Dolphins team to be optimistic about. And it's quite frankly a whole lot of fun at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And the offensive line deserves a hell of a lot of credit. The coaching staff deserves a hell of a lot of credit for, you know, really getting all these guys on the same page, getting the most out of them. It's just been a continued improvement. It really has been. And Austin Jackson continues to just be an absolute monster in the running game. And he's doing fine in pass protection too. I mean, granted, the Dolphins know what they have at tackle. Like, they're not going out there and doing a lot of play action and long, slow developing plays where Tua is sitting in the pocket. Their goal is to get the ball out fast. Tua's getting the ball out fast. And so all of that, you know, factors into why he's been sacked so few times, which obviously, you know, is good for, you know, the stats for the offensive lineman. But really, there are plenty of times over these last few games where, you know, Tua has had to move off of his first read and second read and go to his third and fourth read and has had enough time to sit back there in the pocket really comfortably. So these guys are still doing a really good job, but what they're doing on the ground, and Liam Eikenberg did a nice job in this game anchoring. Like, Liam Eikenberg is never going to be what Connor Williams is for the running game. But as a backup center, all you're hoping for, get the ball snapped, anchor well, don't make a whole bunch of missed assignments, protect your quarterback, and get some push. And Liam Eikenberg did everything that he needed to do. And so now we're at a point. You know how, like, I think we said a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I know a lot of people say, you know, you can look around, like when you talk about offensive line depth, and you can look around at every single team in the league, and literally no team feels comfortable with their seventh offensive lineman. Well, we're at a point.
I mean, that's true.
We're at a point right now where, I mean, I wouldn't say that I necessarily feel comfortable with Liam Eikenberg, but if Liam Eikenberg had to step in for a game, I don't think it's going to break us. And then, you know, who would our eighth offensive lineman be? Would it be Robert Jones? I mean, I based on what we saw last year from him, I feel like we'd get serviceable play. So I actually feel like we have all the makings of an upper echelon offensive line that's not just good at the top, but actually has depth. And that just says a world about, you know, the job that this coaching staff has done. And hey, at this point, give some credit to Chris Greer, I guess.
I mean, I guess you gotta begrudge it. Like, when he made that comment, he must have known that could have been on his tombstone. It could still be on his tombstone, but right now, it's listen, you got to give the man some credit at the moment. But then again, it's only 6 weeks. We haven't won anything yet, so let's not get carried away. But I mean, it's lots and lots of good stuff out there at this point in time for the Miami Dolphins. That's not to say that there aren't still some things to worry about. And among the things that I continue to worry about that we've been ringing the alarm bells on all season since last year, Mike McDaniel, for all of his brilliance and all of his genius, he completely sucks in short yardage situations. He's horrible. That third down play call. First of all, I get the idea of, okay, well, we're going to show the commitment to make it look like we're going to run right up the gut, you know, and we're going to do the hard yard and we're going to get it. And then you do the fake out to the side to try to turn it into a big explosive play. Totally get it. Totally get it. But the thing is, in order for that to really work, first, you need to show a commitment to actually trying to get that one hard yard first, because that's not something that you've ever shown, first of all. Second of all, the execution was not great here. And, I mean, Tua really botched that one. It could have been a disaster. And then third, is this the, really the game where you need to be revealing that particular play? Like, come on. Like, there's certainly going to be a more opportune moment to pull that cat out of the bag, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I think that this, you know, this is going to be the thing that we keep harping on until they prove that they can do it against a legitimate defensive front and do it consistently and lean on it. And that's when you need a hard yard or two, can you run up the middle to get it? Can you just say, we're going to play some smash mouth football here and we're going to run up? Like, it's nice to have those other things in the repertoire, which honestly make it easier to run up the middle, because those are things that the opposing defense absolutely has to account for. But at some point, you have to be able to just play smash mouth football.
That's right.
Because when you get cute, things like that happen. Yes. And if that happens and the defense turns around and scoop and scores that, or even if they just, you know, it's a turnover deep in your own red zone, you know, those can very easily be the difference in a game against a really good team. You get away with it against the Giants, you get away with it against the Panthers, and you, frankly, with the way this offense is playing, you're probably going to get away with it more weeks than you're not. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty of this thing, where we all have aspirations at this point that this team is a Super Bowl contender, when you get into the playoffs, you can't have that happen. And you're damn sure gonna have moments where you've got a third and one or a fourth and one or a third and goal or a fourth and goal down at the goal line. And, you know, the other team's not biting on any of that crap. And they're gonna say, you need to run the ball up the middle. We know you need to run the ball up the middle, and we're betting that you can't do it. And that's when Miami needs to say, we're betting that we can, and they do. At that point, this offense becomes unstoppable.
That's what we've got to do. We've got to get there. So that's, and you know, that's a, one of the things that I'm looking at that I'm like, okay, yeah, that's something that we got to get better at. And one of the things that I was thinking coming into this game that we needed to get better at was generating pressure with just that front four. I was very pleased that as the game went on, we actually really started to see a little bit of that. Bradley Chubb, I think, maybe had his best game as a Dolphin in this game against Carolina.
I thought he was better in the Patriots game.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair, too. I thought he was great there as well.
He loves to play some backup offensive linemen. He really shows out in those games.
I thought Christian Wilkins had himself a nice game, picking up a couple of sacks here. He's really starting to warm up. It's almost like maybe he should have been participating a bit more during training camp. You know, Vic Fangio was made that comment earlier in the season that, you know, maybe there was a little bit of rust for Christian Wilkins because he wasn't really involved in training camp and the preseason. But, you know, here we are now, and you know, he's starting to warm up. He's starting to get a little better, and that's good. So we're starting to see a little bit more push from that defensive line. They're going to get a big test coming up next week as they take on the Eagles, because that's one of the best offensive lines in football, even though there are some injuries now happening on that offensive line as well, which may be a positive break for the Dolphins. But hey, you play who's in front of you.
I'm not really seeing what you're seeing as far as the Dolphins. Yeah, like when it got down to the very end of the game, they kind of smelled blood in the water and they came after him and they started to, you know, bring pressure with four. But I wasn't seeing them bring pressure with four for really the first three quarters of the game. I saw them bring a fifth guy successfully a few times in the third quarter after halftime. And I thought that was a nice adjustment, but I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it consistently from the guys in the interior, which, you know, you want to see it from those guys, but you're not really expecting to see a lot of, you know, penetration necessarily from those guys, particularly in this defense. But Jalen Phillips, I thought, played really well in the first game of the season against the Chargers. He then, you know, had the injury. And so I don't know if he's 100%. I would think, based on the way the Dolphins have treated injured players thus far, I would think that he would not have played in that game against Carolina if he wasn't very close to 100%. But I'm not seeing Jalen Phillips make a big impact.
And he was only out there for 30 snaps in that game. So it wasn't like he played the whole game. I think he was only out there for like half of the defensive snaps.
Well, no, I think they pulled him with a lot of starters, like, you know, midway through the fourth quarter.
He was definitely on a pitch count in this game. So, and they've said as much. So, but I mean, that doesn't say you'd need to see him be more impactful as well. So, I mean,
this defense is not going to work if they can't get pressure with four. And to Fangio's credit, they blitzed more in the second half. But for them to do what they want to do defensively, they're going to need to be able to get pressure with four. And they're going to need better play out of the secondary. And then furthermore, you know, look, Christian Wilkins had a good game. All things said and done, you look at the game as a whole, Christian Wilkins had a very good game. But you know what? On those first two drives of the game, I'm watching the Carolina Panthers run right up the gut on the Dolphins defense and push this Dolphins defensive line all over the field. And I'm looking at that and I'm saying, man, you're paying what, $12, $13 million a year to Sealer? Christian Wilkins is turning down $20 million a year because he thinks he should set the market at defensive tackle. And I'm sorry. Like, if you're going to pay that much for your defensive tackles, these guys need to make an impact. They weren't even good in the first half of this game. They played better as the game went on, but they have not, generally speaking, have not been very impactful through the first six games of this season. And the backup defensive tackles have really not been impactful. We knew that there was a depth issue at defensive tackle coming into the season. I'm still wondering if at some point they're going to say, you know what, we don't have enough in the interior, we're going to go get a guy. But also, look, if Vic Fangio really wants to play with a nose tackle, we don't really have a nose tackle. Mike Oliva said it, you know, in the comments on Twitter, when I was talking about how the defensive line really wasn't impactful, and he brought up the point, you know, Vic Fangio really wants to have a nose tackle. We really need a run stuffer. If you had a run stuffer, then you can really, like, he can occupy those blockers and it can really free up a lot of space for the other guys on the front. And I wonder, you know, if the Dolphins at this point, I hope that the Dolphins win the Super Bowl with this roster, because I don't think, not only do I not think Christian Wilkins is going to get paid what he wants to get paid, I certainly don't think he's going to get paid what he wants to get paid by this team, given the cap situation. But it's looking more and more like at the end of the year, this is going to be a tag and trade situation with Christian Wilkins, because it just doesn't fit. You can't be paying, even if you pay him $20 million a year, you cannot be paying over $30 million a year to two defensive tackles that are not making that much of an impact. So I want to see more from this defensive line. Bottom line, you got to see more from this defensive line.
Yeah, tough to make an argument for paying big money to Christian Wilkins, especially when you've got one offensive lineman under contract after this season. So, something to consider. And
two.
Thought there'd be no way that I would be having this conversation, but it seems crazy to me that Austin Jackson is a guy that we might have to talk about paying going into next season. So.
Well, Is Bob Hunt's a free agent too?
Yeah, his rookie deal is, he's at the end of his rookie deal as well. Man. So, I mean, a lot of mouths to feed. But
better
either way,
this year, because you ain't got the draft picks.
But either way, the Miami Dolphins are sitting at 5-1 after, again, fairly easily handling Carolina. And so now it's time to ask the question that we have to ask.
Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right. It is time once again to check your pulse. It's pulse check time, where you tell us what is one word that you would use to describe how you feel about the Miami Dolphins right now after that victory over the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. If you're watching on the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, go ahead and put it in the comments. If you're watching on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, put it in the comments. We want to hear from you. What is your one word to describe how you're feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now? We asked that question earlier on Twitter and got a lot of great answers. So let me share some of those with you right now. Jordan Murray says fantastic. Ryan Meppam says dominant. Nandito says excited. CT Fins fan is content. Ron Mahoney is scared. James Sonny Burnett is content. Derek is excited. William Varner is fulfilled. Daniel GC is at ease. Aquaholics on track. Dolphins Talk is confident. Rich Miller is impressed. We've got some comments here on watching the live stream as well. Josh Ritter says stupendous. Diego Diaz is fantastic. Peggy Emor is love. Brent Adamson, hopeful. Douglas Potter, better. Ray Finkel is feeling great. James Euchre is tickled. And OG Highway, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. We'd love to hear that. Let's see. And Chad Cooper, or Copener, sorry, is eager. Tervailus Tinker is ecstatic. JM Santos, apprehensive. Jeff Harris is hopeful. Please continue to put your thoughts in the comments. Brain and I talked about our pulse checks before the show, and it turned out to be very, very funny. Because Brain, what was your one word?
Ready.
And my one word, prepared. So you can tell we are, it's a shoot. It's real. We are actually brothers from the exact same mother. Yeah, Aaron's ready and I'm prepared. And here's what I mean by that. I am ready for this team to either take a big step forward and make a big statement on Sunday against the Eagles. And I'm also equally prepared for this team to fail to do that. I think there's a couple ways to look at where the Dolphins are right now in this season. Because the fact of the matter is, they're 5-1, okay? And they have beaten 5 of the 6 teams that have been put in front of them. So the Dolphins have clearly taken care of business. They've beat up on teams that they are clearly better than, and they've done it despite playing a single game with their optimal lineup at even what I would call decent health, right? They have not fielded their strongest lineup to this point, right? Their strongest 53-man lineup. Yes, the teams they've beaten so far as of Monday night, before the conclusion of tonight's Monday Night Football game, the teams they've beaten only have a combined record of 5-23. But again, you can only beat the teams in front of you, and handling any team in the NFL with relative ease while not even playing a complete game, it's still impressive. And that is an accomplishment that should be acknowledged and it should be appreciated. But at the same time, it can't be ignored that the Dolphins, in the one game that they played against an opponent that could realistically be considered a contender. In that one game, the Dolphins were boat raced out of the building. It was a humbling loss. So while the Dolphins should be celebrated, and if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, you should be savoring every second of this, it's still fair to say that this is a team that is unproven against the best competition. So if they go to Philadelphia and lay an egg on Sunday, this is a team that will, I think, fairly be considered kind of elite pretenders. But if they go to Philadelphia and they win, then the entire conversation starts to change. So I'm ready to see what the next step is for this team, Brent.
Are you ready or are you prepared?
I'm prepared. I looked at your word, but they're very similar.
Yes.
They are synonyms, in fact.
Yeah. And the thing for me is that we've talked about it. I've talked about it specifically about how the Dolphins have reached this level where there's just certain teams that aren't going to be able to hang with them. And just by being at that point, I think, look, a lot can happen. Injuries can derail a season. But I think we all feel very confident that this, at the very least, is a playoff team. But that's not what the aspiration is. The aspiration is to be a contender, a Super Bowl contender. And so there are only a handful of games this season that are really going to be litmus tests for whether this team is really a contender until you actually get to the playoffs, when you can prove it on the field beyond a shadow of a doubt. And they had their first test a couple of weeks ago and they failed miserably. And we came out of that game and all we said was, these next 2 weeks, take care of business, do what you're supposed to do, don't really slip up, and you'll get another test in 2 weeks. And then, you know, really it's going to be two huge tests over the course of 3 weeks, because you'll have that Chiefs game coming up too. So now that we've gotten through those two games that felt like preseason games, and we did what we were supposed to do, at times it's like kind of just feels ho-hum. But then you look up and it's like, you have a 15-point win, a 21-point win, and you gave up a defensive touchdown in each of those games. Like, so you really should have, you know, a 22-point win and a 28-point win. It just feels like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to see the Dolphins play the dregs of the league anymore. I'm ready to see the Dolphins face a real contender, a team that we know is a Super Bowl contender because they were there last year. And they were within a few plays of taking home the Lombardi Trophy last year. I don't think the Dolphins are... I think psychologically, there's something about the Bills, particularly when you go to Buffalo. I don't think the Dolphins are scared of Philadelphia. I think the Dolphins practiced against Philadelphia in joint practices at the beginning of last season, and all of the talk was how the Dolphins dominated those practices. Now, granted, training camp practices don't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but they do matter psychologically. The Dolphins know that they can match up physically with this Philadelphia Eagles team, but now they have to prove it. This Dolphins team needs to prove that they can win a big game against a really, really good team on the road, no less. And do it on national TV, do it with all the hype, you know, with everybody talking about how good they are for the whole week. And you know what? I don't think the Eagles did us any favors by losing yesterday.
No.
Not only, you know, does it kind of, you know, stick in the back of your, not only in the back of your head, you have to say, well, hey, remember that Jets defense is still actually elite and they're 3-3. And if you lose this week and they win, like you're only a game ahead of the Jets. And that's not a team that you necessarily want to sleep on. While granted, their ceiling is capped, but this ain't even about the Jets. Like now you're going to play the Eagles pissed off. People are going to be talking about how great the Eagles are all week. They're going to be talking about how great the Dolphins are. So in a lot of ways, it's very reminiscent of the situation when Miami went into Buffalo a few weeks ago. Be ready to play. Don't come out flat. Really be the aggressor. I'm not expecting the Dolphins to go in there and blow the doors off of Philadelphia. But show that you are every bit on that level. Look, at this point, you know, moral victories are not a thing when you're trying to be a Super Bowl contender. But I think, realistically, I don't even need to see the Dolphins win that game next week. I just need to see that they're on that level. Because at the end of the day, it's difficult to win on the road against Super Bowl contending teams. Spoiler alert. I'm not picking the Dolphins to win this week. I would love to see it. If they win, it tells me a hell of a lot about them. But I just need to see that they're on that level. And I'm ready to see it because I have not seen it from this team since that 0-2 team. And that 0-2 team showed it. Granted, 2 weeks too early. They showed it right at towards the end of the season. They put themselves in position and won a big game to make themselves the number one seed. And then they didn't finish the job and they blew.
Well, then they same old Dolphins.
And then they same old Dolphins, which is a reminder when we get to the end of the season that no matter how good this team looks up to that point, they can't do anything to prove that they're not the same old Dolphins until we get to January. But I am ready for this team to take the next step because I think that they can do it. Because I've never seen a Dolphins team with this much potential.
Yeah, I think we can agree on that. This is, as of right now, the best all-around Miami Dolphins team that we have had in a very long time. And I mean, if we can get that defense clicking on even just, you know, just an average level, just so that, you know, we can shut down some, like we don't need to completely shut teams down running the ball, but we need to not be getting gashed for 100 yards by one of the worst teams in the league on the ground. You know, we need to not be, you know, I know it's a lot of bend but don't break right now. Like, you know, all things considered, outside of the Buffalo game, and obviously that first game against the Chargers, it hasn't been that bad. But then again, all of those other teams, really poor offenses. So that's why this game on Sunday against the Eagles is such a big one. But like I said, the conversation really starts to change if the Dolphins win that game on Sunday, because that's when you go, okay, we've really got something here. So, Brain, anything else that you want to say, tie a bow on everything before we move ahead and look ahead to the next game, because the next game is the biggest one. At least at this point.
Yeah, I just think, look, at the end of the day, this is another litmus test game.
That's easy for you to say.
You could say that again. I just want to see the Dolphins play, you know, to their potential. I don't want to see them play a sloppy game. If the Dolphins come out and play a clean football game, my feeling is they can play with any team in this league. And this offense should be able to put up 30 points every single game. And that means defense, keep them under 30. It's not a difficult goal that you need to set.
That's it.
Like, you probably want to set that goal maybe to 24. Keep them under 24 and the Dolphins will win. But honestly, keep them under 30. This offense will get the job done if you keep them under 30. I'm fully confident in it.
So there it is. A reminder that Aaron will be back with you later this week on Thursday with Mike Oliva, as I am going to be gone for business. So I'm not going to be able to be live on the show. I will do my best to send in a video that maybe Aaron and Mike can share. If you're watching live on YouTube, maybe, you know, and we can plug that in after in post to get posted. But I'm not going to be able to join the show live. But either way, make sure we will have content here for you. And then we will be back next week on Monday to recap the game and, you know, either get really pumped up because the Dolphins keep winning, or we'll be discussing a loss, which would hopefully, if it's a loss, it's a close loss and not another blowout at the hands of a true contender. But either way, we'll be here with you and we're going to be talking about it. And we thank you for tuning in as always. So make sure you're following us. I'm again at Amplified to Rock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Turn on notifications so you're notified every time we go live. Join the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page or like the Facebook page. Visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And make sure that you visit Caldera Lab where you can get some good stuff for your face, folks. Get it. CalderaLabs.com. Use the promo code DolphinsTalk. You're going to get 20% discount off of this stuff that's going to make you look young and exciting and exuberant. It's going to basically, if you use Caldera Labs, gentlemen, ladies, everybody, if you use Caldera Labs, you're basically, your face is going to be like the face, the facial equivalent of the Miami Dolphins offense is what I'm telling you. It's going to look young and exciting and fresh. And everybody's going to want to see more of it. So go to Caldera Lab, use the promo code DolphinsTalk, and get all of that good stuff for your face. And it's easy. It's easy to use. Okay? So just go and get it. Do it. It's going to be worth it in the long run. So thank you, everybody, for joining us on this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Aaron will be back with Mike later this week to preview the Eagles game. But until then, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
Are you ready for some football?